morning scripture will be coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. That's 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the verses 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary of the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. May the Lord add a blessing to his word.
The scripture says that 1 Peter 5, 8, Peter said, be sober. Said, be vigilant. Your adversary, your enemy, as a roaring lion, seeking, he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The word of God said that for a reason. No, God created the lion. So he wants you to investigate the roaring lion. He has a roaring lion walking about. Now, we all watch the Discovery Channel. You know the roaring lion. He see his prey. First off, he crouches down low. He camouflages in the brush real, real low so you can't see him. Then he sneaks up on his prey slowly. Prey look around. He ducks down. But he know he can't get all of the tribe or all of the herd. You know what he do? He looks for a weak one. He can't get them all. He finds that weak one that's lingering behind. See, the lion know he can't get the whole congregation, so he focuses on the weak ones. Because he's hungry. He desires them. Luke 22:31. He desires to have you. See, he is the king of the jungle. See, he's the God of this world. Now, could you imagine being in a wilderness or in a jungle? Could you imagine being in a jungle and you're drunk? The scripture said, be sober. Could you imagine being in a jungle and there's a hungry lion and you're drunk? Be sober. So let me ask you a question. What's your addiction? Scripture said, be sober. What's your addiction? Is it drink? Alcohol, liquor? Leviticus 10 and verse number 9 say, drink neither wine nor strong drink. So some people say, well, you know you can drink champagne. No, wine nor strong drink. Is it liquor? Is it beer? Or hey, maybe it's marijuana. No, but a lot of people say marijuana is natural. God created. You know, it's getting ready to be legal all over the country. Hey, that's God created that. That's what they say. But then I say, well, you know, God created poison ivy too. You smoke that? It's natural, right? The scripture said, be ye sober. Do you not know when you smoke marijuana, the chemicals in your brain, serotonin, the dopamine, all those things, those electrical pulses and those things that causes joy, marijuana affects all that. Google it. Be sober. Is it marijuana? Or maybe it's money. You know, people these days do strange things for some change. Maybe it's money. You know, some people, they wake up early, go to work 4 or 5 in the morning. Some people, you know, they stay up all night, work overtime. The money might be that motivating factor to get them to do it, but when they come to services, they don't get up there. They don't stay all night. They run up out of here. Maybe you're addicted to money. Maybe you're addicted to sex. You're not married, but you got to please that little itch you got. Is that your addiction? Maybe you take pills or ophanoids or whatever. Whatever your addiction is, the scripture said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, to the Bible.
You know, addiction leads to self-destruction. It starts off as one drink. But then it ends up, you can't even sleep without it. If you stop doing it, you will die. Your body's dependent upon it. Starts off as one puff. Now you can't even think without it. You can't even eat without it. You know, Adam and Eve, it started off as one bite. And look where we end up. It calls self-destruction. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. What that mean? 1 Peter 1:13, what that mean? Gird up the loins of your mind. That mean have your mind wrapped tight. No influences of the world, no addictions, because there's a roaring lion that seeks you. Gird up the loins of your mind and think clear. You know, your thoughts trigger your actions. Think about it. You think something, your thoughts trigger an action, and your actions constitutes your destiny. Now, if I'm addicted to something and I think thoughts that constitute me to act on something, and then that act have me in my destiny in jail for the rest of my life. Your mind got to be clear. You know, my mom called me about a few months back. You know, I'm the oldest, so I get all the calls. She said, you know, my stepdad, he went out drinking. I don't know where he at. So I'm talking to her. He didn't come home that night. So she called me back 2 days later. She said, I got something to tell you. I was like, what happened? Well, I got a call from the hospital. They said that he was in the hospital. I went in. He was in the bed. He fell down. And nobody knows what happened. He was drunk. Then she called me back the next day and said, well, they found out he's paralyzed throughout his whole body. So this was a few months back. I'm saying to myself, you mean tell me he's paralyzed, he's in that situation, can't move, and he don't even know what happened. The scripture said, be sober. You know, people, the jail is full of people that don't even know what happened. The scripture said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about, seeking to devour. What's your addiction? See, we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Be sober, be vigilant. Do you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said, well, look, y'all stay here, told his disciples, I'm going to go over here and pray. He went to pray, he came back. He said, get up, I told you to get up, watch and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. We can't be ignorant of his devices. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. And let's see if we can look at some of God's word as far as in dealing with Satan and his devices. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Now, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was complete, a perfect, righteous man, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, that word eschewed means despised, hated. It's just if you draw a line to sand, evil on one side, good on the other, he didn't stay on the side of the line close to evil. He ran away from evil. See, he's not like us. Sometimes we love to be entertained by evil. He hated evil. You know, like we listen to the music of evil. We partake in the amusement of evil, but he ran away from evil. See, that's the kind of man that he was. Eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. He had plenty of money. And 3,000 camels and 500 yokes of oxen and 500 she-asses and a great very great household said that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with him. And it was so, when the days of the feast were going about, that Job sent and sacrificed them and rose up early. See, that was the first thing on his mind. Early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of his children, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continuously. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, that's the angels, they came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also unto them. Okay, here go that roaring lion. And the Lord said, Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it like a roaring lion. Coming to, I'm seeking whom I'm going to devour. He's walking around. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and runs and hates evil. You see that? He's looking around for somebody to devour. God said, look, Satan, come here. You see my servant Job? God recommended Job. You see my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. Can God say that about me and you? Can God say, let me show you somebody. You see my servant Montrell? You see my servant John? You see my servant you? Can he say that about us? Why he can't? If he can't, why not? We are supposed to be his church, a sanctified people. Can he point at us individually? He didn't say, oh, the church. See, sometimes we think the church, you know, we beautify the church, we do the carpet, we clean the walls, we make it pretty, but God is not concerned with the church building. He's worried about the church, the church. See, Jesus said the church is within you. He told his disciples the church is within you. So, he's not concerned about the building. 1 Peter 2, verse number 5, ye also, as lively stones, that's what he concerned about, the lively stones. You built up a spiritual house. He's not worried about the carpet. He ain't worried about none of the walls. Built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. See, he want clean, lively stones. He don't want no dirty bricks. He desire in clean, lively stones. Offer up spiritual sacrifices unto him. Can he look at you and say, have you considered my servant? Now, let's pick up back with our reading. One that eschews evil, verse 8, verse number 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? If he ain't have nothing, would he still fear you? Has not thou made a hedge around about him? And about his house and about all that he hath on every side. See, God provided for Job, just like he provided for us. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Has not he provided, you provide all those things for him on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But look, let me show you something, God. If you put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. But look. Only unto him put not forth your hand. See, so Satan went forth as a roaring lion from the presence of the Lord. Satan is not that powerful. He had to ask God for permission to do something to Job. See, some people think, well, there's a war going on between God and Satan. No, don't downgrade God like that. There's no war going on between God and Satan. God can snap one finger and destroy the whole world. Ain't no war going on between God and Satan. Oh, there's a war going on. It's a fight. Look, he had to ask for permission to do harm to Job. God said, all right, I know Job. Go ahead. Just don't kill him. See, God knows Job. See. Now let's read verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has in thy power, only to put not forth thy hand against him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, verse number 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, thou oxen were plowing. This messenger said this. And the asses feeding beside them. And behold, the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell ye. Now, while he was yet speaking, you know, they say, "What man, soon, you know, if it ain't one thing, it's another." While he was yet speaking, there came another man and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone escaped to tell thee. Look, one thing is another. And yet, while he was yet speaking, there came another man. The Chaldeans made up three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone am escaped to tell. Now, while he was yet speaking that, there came another one. See, sometimes we go through life, one thing after another. What are we going to do about it? Thou son and thy daughter were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I alone may escape and alone to tell thee. Then Job rose. All them nice garments he had, he rent them, took all that jewelry, all that off. He shaved his head, he fell down on the ground, and he worshiped God. Now, when you go through your situation, you might be in something right now, financial problem, you might have your house, whatever it is you're going through, do you fall down on your knees when those things happen, and do you worship God? When those times and trials come in your life, you might have a death of a loved one. What Job did. Lost all his kids. He fell on his knees and he worshiped God. And what did he say? He said, and naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If that's your attitude, blessed be his name. See, he knew in whom he believed in, and he was persuaded that he was able to keep that which he committed. Verse number 22, and all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. See, sometimes we feel like, okay, I'm going to church every Sunday, working, providing for my family. I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't smoke. All this stuff happening to me. God, why are you letting this stuff happen to me? Satan is the one responsible for all that stuff. You're giving God Satan's credit. God ain't got nothing to do with that. Satan came, put his hand on Job, and he did not charge God foolishly. Do we charge God foolishly? For our current situation we're going through, do we look at God and sometimes we know that there's a God, but we forget that there's a devil? Do we charge God foolishly? Like I said, my mom told me, you know, her husband went out drinking. He fell, hit his head. He was paralyzed in the bed. My mom had to sit there and watch her husband. This was a few months back. We had to watch him waste away. He died. But she knew she couldn't charge God foolishly. Because God said what? Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, who is the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Can't charge God foolishly for that. You can't charge God foolishly when men drink and drive, influenced by Satan, get in the car, hit, maybe kill even one of your own innocent babies. You can't charge God foolishly for that. God said be sober. When life goes downhill, let us not charge God foolishly. James 1:13, let not a man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted God he any man. Let us not charge God foolishly. Chapter 2, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The angels got together. Satan came again. Verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And Satan answered and said to him, going to and fro in the earth. Okay, so I thought you was working on Job. So it was there. You couldn't get Job. You're going to look for somebody else. Going to and fro, looking and seeing who I can devour. See, James chapter 4 and verse number 7. If you resist Satan, he shall flee. Go look for somebody else. Verse number 3, and the Lord said, look, no, come on back. Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like unto him on earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan laughing. skin for skin. Yay. A man to give all that he has to protect his body. Skin for skin. Put forth thy hand now and touch his bones and touch his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said in the same, behold, he is in thy hand. But I'm going to give you some restrictions now. Don't kill him. So Satan went forth as a roaring lion from the presence of the Lord. Smote Job with sores and with sore boards and sores of his feet of his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with him. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, his old precious wife, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Shall we not receive all the blessings from God, all the camel, everything that we had, and not receive some evil that, you know, have some bad things come we want to give up? You know what? Job is the only man I know whose wife didn't make him cuss. I've been married a few years. Sometimes the tongue, you know, the tongue is in a wet place, and sometimes it slips. He's the only man that didn't let his wife make him cuss. That was supposed to be funny. I see my wife ain't laughing. It's all good. Verse number 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of this evil that was to come upon him, there came every one of his place, his three friends. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shittite, Zophar, the Naamite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him. Now, his three friends come. So his wife told him, you know, why don't you curse God and die? His three friends came. Job chapter 4 and verse number 8, they said, man, look, you must be reaping what you're sowing. So I find it amazing that he has a wife. Satan took all his kids, but he didn't take his wife, and he didn't take his three friends. Kind of amazing. Why he didn't take his wife? Maybe she was one of Satan's messengers. Maybe those three friends was one of Satan's messengers. You know Satan has messengers. You didn't know that? Satan has messengers. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul said, look, I have a thorn in my flesh. We don't know what that particular thorn means, but what he did say, he said, I have a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffer me. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but what? Try the spirit. Why? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. You know, we got some people in the religious world, look, you can go to any church of your choice. Look, but the scripture here says many false prophets going into the world. Which one? You can be a Mormon, you can be a Baptist, you can be whatever you want, but this scripture here says many false prophets are going into the world. Somebody lying. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Peter 2, verse number 1. 2 Peter 2, verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who proudly shall bring in damnable stories or heresies. You know, like Joseph Smith said, he saw a dream, and I had a dream. You know, angel came and spoke to me. He created Mormons. Know what he said? So bring in damnable stories, even denying that the Lord had brought them, and bring themselves into swift destruction. And many people shall follow their pernicious ways. Many people are going to follow. That's what the scripture said, but then you got somebody on this side saying, well, you can go to any church you want to. So what is this scripture talking about? If any Jesus will do, what is that saying? Something don't add up here. You know what they're saying? That there's messengers of Satan out there. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. Now let's keep on reading. By reason of whom the way of truth, the right way, God's way, shall be even spoken of. You know what that means?
when somebody's trying to teach and preach the gospel, they evil speaking to that person. He's pouring out his heart and he's doing what's right in the truth and the word of God. He's relaying the message to you, but he's even spoken of because you're following the pernicious ways of man. He's evil spoken of. He's the scum of the earth. He's trying to teach the gospel to you. He's the scum of the earth. His evil ways, and he's the truth. He's teaching you the light. Let's keep reading. And through covetousness, talking about these men, these false teachers, through covetousness, they would fern or with deceitful words make merchandise of you. The messengers of Satan. What do you mean? Well, my pastor said, he want him a new jet. So we gotta up our offerings. We gotta give Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We gotta give. That what pastor said, pastor need a Bentley. Pastor's wife needs, that's the first lady, she need, look, that's why the scripture said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, which was read earlier, upon the first day of the week give. So why are they giving on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for? See, do you ever sit down and think about, see, there are messengers of Satan in the world, and he's deceiving many. He's deceiving many, and the way of truth is evil spoken of. See, the devil is a wrong line.
Walking about, up and down in the earth,
seeking whom he can devour. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3, but if the gospel be hid,
if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lest the glorious gospel of Christ.
Let me go back. The gospel to them that are lost. If it be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I got to say this part. That the God of this world had blinded their eyes. See, can't leave that one out.
It's hid to them that are lost because the pernicious men, the message of Satan, the God of this world, had blinded their eyes that they will not see.
Lest the light of the glory of the gospel, who is the image of God? That is God. The image of God sent here shall shine upon you. Do not let these men dupe you. Do not let these pernicious words fluff you up. These words that tickle your ears, don't let those men lead you to your destruction. Now, let's get back to Job. These three friends, these messengers of Satan. He had all these trials and tribulations. His loved ones bowing down on him that it's his fault. Yet, in Job chapter 13 and verse number 15, Job said, though God slay me, if God kill me, I'm still going to trust in him. I'm still going to trust in my God. Do you have that same attitude? Job maintained his integrity. God gave him everything that he lost, and he gave it to him double. See, we serve a God. He's perfect in all his ways. He knew Job was going through some things. He said, watch this. Watch my servant. He knew he was going to overcome. See, but Satan didn't know. Satan didn't know that. Satan is not all knowledge. He don't have all the knowledge. God knew what he was going to do. Satan, well, watch this. Watch what I do. Watch he gonna cuss you. See, Satan is not that powerful. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent like God. See, God is here. He's in Memphis. He's in New York. He's over in Africa. At the same time, we just read where Satan, he's going to and fro, looking around. He's not powerful like God. There is no competition. God was everywhere at the same time, even where we were at last night. Whatever we was doing last night, God was there. He said, I will trust in God even if he killed me. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There has no temptation taken you such as coming to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. But with the temptation, allow a way of escape that ye may be able to bear. James 5:11, beloved, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, the graciousness of God. You have seen that the Lord is merciful to his children and he's pitiful unto them and of tender mercy. See, the eyes of the Lord, 1 Peter 3:12, are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. So whatever it is you're going through at this present time, God is watching you. Maybe he told Say, watch my servant, watch what he do. You might be homeless. You might lose your job. You might have money situations. You might lost loved ones, but Satan, he's trying to trick him and get you to curse God and die. Fast and hold fast your integrity. Let me ask you a question. Have you been attacked by the lion? Have you been attacked by the roaring lion? Thank God for sending his son Jesus, to rescue us from the lion. See, God is so wise. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18, you were not redeemed or rescued with corruptible things like gold and silver from the vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ. Look, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, God sent a lamb to destroy a lion. Remember what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 22? God, they threw him in the fire, they threw him in the lion's den because he was praying. They said, if you go in that lion's den, we're going to see what happens. The king Darius was looking, and he came, he saw that he was still living. Daniel said in Daniel 6, 22, my God has sent his angel, and his angel has shut the mouth of the lions. Remember what David said? David said, my God, oh, powerful God, he rescued me. He rescued me from the paw of the lion. See, thanks be to God that he sent this son, a lamb, oh, innocent lamb. Lambs don't even bark or nothing, to destroy a lion. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. Jesus came, as prophesied by God. He stumped the head of the lion. Thanks be to God for sending his son. Amen. But Jesus said, in the world you should have tribulations. You know, I'm coming to save and rescue, but you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Be of good cheer. But Jesus also said, Matthew 11:28, you have to come unto me though. Come unto me all ye that are weary. Come unto me, all ye that are lonely, all ye that are fatherless, all ye that are in distress, all ye that are in pain and the suffering of this world, all of the weary. So I will give you rest. I will give you companionship. I will give you love. I will give you joy. I will give you a kingdom of my people. I will give you rest. Come unto me. Come unto him. Lay all your burdens down. Whatever it is you're going through right now. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 as I close. I don't like to hold you long. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brother. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand, you see that, against the wiles of that roaring lion, the devil. You got to have your armor on because he's coming at you. You can walk around with no armor on, he's going to get you. Easy target, a weakling. Just like we said, that lion we're here in the forest, he's still a weakling, he just go and pounce on him and get him. You have to have your armor on that you may be able to stand, you see that? That word stand. Underline that word stand. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against man, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to, here go that word again, withstand. You remember when Jesus They slapped him in his face, spit in his face. He was going up to Calvary, get ready to hang on the cross. They knocked him down. He got back up and he stood. They slapped him. They beat on his back, and Jesus got back up and stood, that you may be able to stand in the evil days. Let's keep reading. And having done all, to stand. You got to underline that word stand again. Let's keep reading. Verse number 14. Stand. See, you got to stand. Whatever you're going through in your life, stand still. Don't fight. Don't worry about it. Just stand. Stand on the promises of God. He said, if you come unto me, I'll give you rest. You let him prove that. Stand. Having done so, stand. Having your loins girded. Remember we talked about that? With truth. 1 Peter 1:13. Gird the loins of your mind with the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. All those darts wherewith you'll be able to quench all those fiery darts. See, Job had his faith. He knew darts was coming. He dropped on his knees. He exhibited his faith. God, worthy to be praised. He knew, but he had that shield of faith. Take on the helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit. Now, that's important. He gave us all this armor, but you only got one weapon. The sword of the Spirit. Why do you need a weapon, Lord? Why do you give me a sword? So that you can fight. Prove all things. Test all things with your sword. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Believe, beloved, fight with your sword. Because there are many false prophets in the world. 1 John 4:1. Are you familiar with your sword? When Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus just got through getting baptized. He went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. Satan came to him. Jesus was very hungry. Satan gave him some stone. Turn it to bread. Show your powers. Turn that stone to bread. Jesus said in Deuteronomy, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Took Jesus up to a seen pinnacle. Told him, jump down and give your angels charge to catch you. Jesus said, it is written also in Deuteronomy, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Took him up on a high seen place. Showed him all the riches of the world and said, look, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. Jesus says, written in Deuteronomy also, you shall only serve the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Are you familiar with your sword? You got to have a weapon in this battle. Are you using your weapon? Psalm chapter 119, verse number 11. David said, the word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, that I might not sin against you. So you got to have your weapon. You got to have your weapon. You ever see them two swordsmen going there, they battling, and so you got to be familiar with your weapon. Are you familiar with your sword? Ching, ching, ching. Are you familiar with it? It's a weapon. Jude, verse number 9. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Ching, ching. Use your sword. Tell them when they run up on you. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Jude 9. But he that abideth in this doctrine of Christ hath both God and the Father. Now, the scriptures say Jude 9. If any man come unto you and bring it not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him farewell. That's the Bible saying that, not me, not the Church of Christ. The Bible says that. Receive him not in your house. Are you familiar with your sword? Hebrews 5:12, for when times you ought to be teachers, a lot of people not familiar with it. 20 years, 15 years in the church, 10. For times you ought to be teachers, you need one to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You're not familiar with your sword. And I become such as a need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful with his sword, in the word. For everyone is not
familiar with his word is unskilled, for he is a babe. Be strong, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of youth have their conscience, their mind exercised, to discern both good and evil. Build your house on the word. Use this sword in the battle. You go through your trials and tribulations in life, have your sword with you. You know what you can do? You can read scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ in this storm right now we're going through? So tribulations separate us from the love of Christ. So distress, persecution, so that separate me from my God. Job got on his knees. He knew what he was going to do. So famine, homelessness, fatherless, bodily injuries, can that separate me from my Lord? Scripture said, can't nothing separate you from me. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you guilty of sin? Are your hands dirty? Are your hands dirty? You offered up dirty hands to God. Are your hands dirty? Look, before you come before God, remember when Moses came before him? God said, take off them dirty shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Before you come to God, you got to be clean. Clean, holy, and acceptable. Come here today, right now. Be clean. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism also saved. Not the way of putting away the filth of the flesh, to be clean, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in his word? Because we give you scripture. Do you believe in his word? Well, come today and confess, you know, I believe in the word of Jesus Christ. I believe in it. But first, you have to repent. So a lot of people go straight to the baptism. No, you got to repent. You know what that means? Those same people you used to hang around, you can't do it no more. Those same churches you go to, you can't do it no more. You must repent. Then you confess. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, it's a process. See, God is wise. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess before this audience, because we got you on film, we got you on tape, we got record that you said that, so that we can keep, okay, he did say, we got him on record. He's a Christian, what he doing in the nightclub then? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess and be baptized, so you can clean those dirty hands. Come now while we together stand and sing.